Welcome to a new episode of All Consumed, a podcast by me, Crystal Hosbert, and my co-host,
Neil Davey,
about studies,
things we've consumed,
and found mentionable. Yeah. That we just consumed some very mentionable items. Where are we, Neil?
We are in the Mahali Bakery.
Mahali Bakery, Battersea. Amazing. I was looking forward to this. Just looking forward to the next opportunity to have to come back, which is amazing.
I've not come across this. You mentioned it. Looking around some ideas of where to record. You mentioned this. Had a quick look. Oh, yeah, this looks like my guy.
Yeah, well, I think it took.
As I think you just said, it's got a new favorite bakery unlocked.
Yeah, I think what drew me here and what convinced you I had a good idea were two words: sambal bacon.
Yes.
And yes. I think sometimes it was a croissant. We had it with cheese and a pan suisse.
That was
phenomenal, huh?
It was phenomenal. It's interesting, like saying before we press record, that this week, the founder Cynthia at Rambutan was doing a kind of a test week for breakfast. And they did a sambal cheese toastie with Neil's Yard cheese, which was delicious. And that little umami spicy kick first thing in the morning. It's life affirming. So yeah, to follow this up with a similar thing in a possibly better vehicle. Actually, that was a better vehicle. That was amazing.
I think the real showstopper actually is the Thai milk tea pan suisse.
Yeah.
And that thing, I had no idea it was going to be that delicious. How much we even have cops coming in here to get like specialty treats. Okay, this is bona fide delicious, right? Maybe in your town, the cops go to the donut shop. I'm here in Battersea, right across from probably the most expensive flats in London. The cops get their special pan suisse. All of them. There's like a queue. I want to get out of here. Yeah, there's seven police officers compared to maybe like four or five staff and you and me and some other guy hanging out here. Wow. Anyway. Yeah, the Thai milk tea pan suisse, man. That
was phenomenal.
I likened it to having a cigar.
Yes.
Smoky, tobacco-y notes.
Yeah, smoky. I can still taste it. I mean, it's what, 5 minutes? 5 minutes, 10 minutes off? And still have that lingering.
And also, just I was expecting it to be like super sweet.
Yeah.
And kind of. No. It's really, really restrained.
Yeah.
A real show of restraint, which is interesting for a place that does sambal bacon and cheese.
And the actual lamination, the enlargement. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh my gosh. And also, what a great opportunity for me to continue on my pursuit of pandan flavors. We had a pandan panda cocoa.
That was very good.
And
as well.
I think there's some other pandan stuff there, which reminds me of another amazing bakery, which, it's in concert here. Wow. This guy sitting beside us probably is undercover, isn't he?
No one's making eye contact.
Wow, this is the safest place in London right now. Unless you're a woman walking home alone at night. Right? Anyway. Bakeries are kind of a non-Western, Eastern
Lucky
you, bakery in Waltham Snow. Been on my list for ages, and then I just never could make it there. And then you mentioned it back on my list, it's just a little hatch in residential area of Waltham Snow. You kind of have to go. I think they do it maybe like two Saturdays out of a month.
Everything
kind of sells out. Even the pre-orders sell out well before the day.
They put the menu up kind of 2-3 days
maybe
before.
Maybe like a week before.
So you know what's going to be. Yeah, I think you're limited to like four
items. If you're a walk-up, you're limited to four items. And I was a walk-up because I didn't get to the pre-order in time.
Right.
a few days ahead. I was running around doing some errands pretty close to where I live. I live in Wapasu, obviously. And I had, you know, it was like a little after 10 o'clock. The window opens at 10:30, so I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and get there early, just scope out the scene. And there was already a queue halfway down the block. By the time it opened, it was, I couldn't see the end of it. And really nice streets.
It's great when little sort of side hustles like that. I think you said the lady behind you is a doctor.
I think she's a medical professional. I'm pretty sure she's a doctor. And I think they just have a love of baking. Might be some more life story there. But look at the Instagram feed. It's a real... just sort of, you can tell it's just, I'm not even going to say labor, because it looks like they put a lot of hard work into it, but just really enjoy it, doing it. Little team there. And so friendly, the service was so nice. I could tell they really appreciated me being there. And just, you can tell it's a real mix of locals and people who were just excited because they saw it on Instagram or whatever. People are like, we just moved to the area, we had to come here, that sort of thing. Pandan Cherry Bakewell was probably my favorite of the items I got. If and when I can go again, I will go again. Definitely worth checking out and making a trip on a Saturday morning to have some nice pastries. Yeah, and you got to come up for it, man.
I'm going to come and I will. So it's been on the list for a long time. Every time their stuff drops on Instagram, I kind of sitting drooling over my phone.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Always really interesting flavors, really interesting ideas.
So lucky me, getting to go to Lucky You, but lucky you because you, Y-O, by the way, the bakery is Lucky You, Y-U, but Lucky You, Y-O-U, you know, you got to go to
the fair ones.
Yeah, one of my favorite places ever,
It is jaw-dropping. I was trying to, so being to some, before this, I was at the most beautiful place I've ever seen was Alaska.
Okay.
There's bits of Scotland, all sorts of bits of Scotland, and islands and whatever. And the long standing joke in our family has always been, so you drive through Scotland, you see some water and a mountain and a forest and the sky and the sun, and you're like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And you stop and take a photo. And then 3 minutes up the road, you pull in and it's all like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Alaska was much the same, but on a much bigger scale. And then driving around the fair, it was just me on my own, and there would be a piece of St. Louis magazine that you bought. And the itinerary was fantastic. It was pretty much, we booked it into a restaurant, and sometimes on sort of press trips, the itineraries are be here at 3, be here at 4:30, do this, and then go and meet this person. And this was pretty much, there's a waterfall you might like to go and have a look at. And this is quite pretty. Dinner's at 8. Okay, this is, so you just drove around, just explored as many islands. They're linked, many of them are linked by tunnel.
I remember years ago. Yeah, it's amazing.
What's the point?
In the middle of, if it's not quite the Arctic Ocean, North Atlantic.
It's very north of Scotland. It's very west of Norway, east of Iceland.
It's essentially halfway between the Shetlands and Iceland.
Very remote, little cluster of islands. Yeah, there was a point I was kind of like, it was 7.5 mile of underwater tunnel. And I'm about halfway through, and people were smashing the screen windows, so my car turned on, which was a little unnerving. I think it was just moisture build up in the tunnel. It only happened once. There was some swearing, some screaming, and it wasn't my proudest moment. With Alaska, it was beautiful on a massive scale, but you kind of have to be at a distance to appreciate it. Whereas with the Faroes,
you're in it.
Absolutely in it. There's points you just sort of pull in to the side of the road, and there's a 130 meter waterfall off on your left. You've driven past 17 smaller, equally beautiful waterfalls to see the biggest waterfall. There's points, there's kind of like the northernmost point. I will look up some. If all goes to plan, I will do a little Faroe guide.
Okay, I'm recording this. I'm guilting Neil into doing a little special mini episode of the Faroe.
We'll have to listen and look up how to pronounce some of the places.
That'll be fun.
It is very, very Tolkien-esque. In terms of scenery and lake.
But you would say most beautiful place you've ever been?
I think it is. I think in terms of just being in it and being part of it, there was a point, there's lots of little churches which are just kind of virtually on their own, kind of outside the villages, but surrounded by like the most beautiful bay you've ever seen, or the most beautiful bit of ocean and beach and mountain. And it's like, if you wanted to be whatever your religious belief, whatever deity or not, you don't know, there is a point where this might convince me.
Yeah.
If you walk out of church and that was the view, it is astonishing. You know, it's like a Peter Jackson backdrop. Everywhere you go, and even the drive to the airport the morning I left, it's a very early drive. I was at a point that didn't really have time to stop. Plus, I've already stopped 473 times over the last 2.5 days.
Well,
I had a camera roll full of different bits of waterfalls and mountains and lakes and scenery and whatever else. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted. A very cute dog has just walked into the bakery. But there was a point, so the sun was just coming up behind one of the mountains, kind of looking back over Torshorn, the capital. And the mist has kind of rolled in, so you can't really see it. So it's like you're above the clouds, and the sun is glinting off that, and there's a lake and a mountain and the ocean. You're like, really?
Really?
Just as I leave, you have to pull this one out. It's breathtaking. Very easy to get to. There's a couple of flights a week from Gatwick. Really easy to negotiate. I drove for hours sometimes without seeing another vehicle.
Yeah, it's amazing, man.
I was trying to get to one particular village because it was like the southernmost point you can get to by car, and the village has a population of 35. I've been to bigger intimate weddings. I've been to bigger leaving weddings. 39 people in the village. I will go back, and my challenge will be to get one of them on my Christmas card list. I might just send a random card. Why not? But yeah, no, it's astonishing. Absolutely.
I think it was probably some time ago, I mentioned on one of our podcast episodes an amazing meal I had on a fjord there after the most scenic day of my life. Yeah, so I'll try to look that up and put it in the show notes for this episode, and I would say probably in my top three most beautiful places I've ever been. Yeah, I remember once having to go to the dentist and I just closed my eyes and my brain went to the Pharaohs to just like let them do whatever they had to do, and it's an amazing place.
Yeah, and just an amazing, amazing part of the world.
Yeah.
Food wise, I mean, there is the controversy of they do cull whales there once a year. So for the sake of balance, they do that under license. It's only people that have been trained and qualified to do that. It's lots of people apply and only a certain number of licenses are given. But then the meat and the blubber is shared amongst the people. They do use the blubber for...
I've been told by Faroese that it's the most democratic distribution of protein in the world.
Yes.
There are other sides to the story, but
yes, exactly. But,
I don't know what you saw, but there's a petrol station that does hot dogs, and there's a Burger King, and that's about it for like non sort of traditional stuff.
Yes.
The supermarkets, it's all stuff from Denmark, and aside from that, they do their own. So
yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Anyway, this would be great stuff to talk about on that special.
I will do that on another
you've
one.
Now promised
yes,
to do soon.
Indeed,
yeah,
I have.
Isn't that nice?
Cross my heart.
Okay, cool.
Cross my heart.
Well, not scenic beauty necessarily in the same way as Faroe Islands, but a real spectacular experience is something I saw last night. I went to see Oliver, the musical, and it was incredible, Neil.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
It is a
really
great
show. I know some of those songs. I remember this. So it's like a late 60s film adaptation of the music. It's the musical, but on film.
Yep. Mark Lester, Ron Moody.
I remember seeing that growing up a few times. and those songs just stay with you, you know. And obviously, just reading—I think we read it in high school. It's based on Oliver Twist, obviously, by Dickens. I remember reading it in high school. It's a great story. The music is phenomenal. Just from the start, you're like, yeah, and it just—I think you even said no filler. So like,
there's like, all killer, no filler. I love a musical. I studied musical stuff for a long, long time. My parents were big fans. Grew up listening to certain soundtracks. There are certain shows that have, I think, an unfair reputation. The King and I, for example, is like, there's like three good songs, and then there's about 30 that you've just just fleeting, or just in and out of your head. Oliver, I think every single thing is a cracker.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant show to see on stage. It's a great, I mean, the I guess the morality of the piece is still very much relevant today.
Sadly so. Some of it was like, ooh, that kind of hits.
Yeah, a little bit of them and us.
Yeah.
I've not seen this production. I've seen it two or three times on the stage. It's various previous iterations. It's a great show. It's a great show, proper crowd pleasing stuff. But I'm glad you may have inspired me to go and see it again.
Yeah, I mean, I know you like maybe musical theaters more than me. I think you would really love this. Yeah. It's just fun. It looked like the people, especially the kids on the stage, were having a blast. I really enjoyed it.
I'm distracted. Somebody has got something we haven't tried.
Oh dear. Oh, gosh. Oh, that's the pandan almond croissant. I think she's got her hands there. Anyway, great show. And we've got another, you and I together are going to go see a great show soon.
We are.
It's part of the BBC Proms, and that is Wise Blood. An orchestra at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, late night prom, and all too brief. It's like a 50-minute prom. They start like sort of 10 p.m., finish around 11. So the proms go on kind of early evening till about whatever, 9:30. The crowd leaves. Next audience comes in for these things.
And I both big fans of Wise Blood. I think, In the Darkness, Hearts Aglow. I think that's the title of the album. It's one of my favorite, most listened to albums.
Yes.
And this is the only
live
gig that Wise Blood is doing this year in the world.
Yeah, and I looked up to see whether, because it is like a 50-minute thing and a special project and
an
orchestral thing, so I don't know whether it's going to be her staff or like things they've created just for this. But I thought, if she's over, perhaps she'll do another gig. And no, she's not. Very, very excited about that. She's been on my wish list for probably about 5 or 6 years since I got put onto her by... It was a late night radio show. Somebody played something, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Really stopped me in my tracks.
And then
I had to go. And then she did a fantastic Glastonbury set a year or two ago, which I think is still on the BBC iPlayer.
Okay, I'd like to see that.
Really, very, just an interesting, there's something kind of ethereal and esoteric, but also kind of really great pop songs.
Yeah, and it's like, the lyrics, they're deep and meaningful. And poignant, but it's very kind of plain language. It's poetic, but it sounds like someone's talking to you in Karen Carpenter's voice. I think
there is something very Carpenter-esque.
The singer sounds like Karen Carpenter. Not all the music, but definitely her voice, and that's a good thing.
Soothing. This is soothing.
A lot of this is you trading back, you and me trading back, sort of. You recommend this, I recommend that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just did that, I've done it years ago, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you've mentioned, and now I am doing all the time, and I owe you a lot of credit. I'll show you belly.
That's
here.
How they get you.
That's Carmi's Pizza by the Slice, Seven Dials. Man, that place is awesome.
It's good.
Yeah, that's affordable.
Really good. Really good value.
They also do PBR and Mexican Coca-Cola, but the slices are proper and delicious. Even when it's packed there, it doesn't take too long. They actually get sort of like the fast food efficiency thing down.
Yep.
I love it. It's very close to the place where I'm doing my drawing classes, okay, which I'll mention a little bit later on in the episode. But
no, call me is decent. They've sold out twice apparently in August.
Slices.
Yeah.
Wow.
They had to close early twice because of selling out, and then partly it's the okay. They're kind of self publicizing through the Bike Twice food review guys who own it, but it's also that it's really good value and really bloody good. I think more to the point.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you've. Glad he's had the Chris Osmond endorsement.
I mean, it's. I'm concerned though because like for so long, I've just always said London's great, but why isn't anybody doing it? And now, I've got four places just off the top of my head that some of them really convenient for me. Yeah. That do really good pizza by the slice, and so. That always concerns me when I hit like a plateau or like something is marked off a wish that I've always had. Right. So like something big is going to happen, Neil. Because the last time I did this, I kind of like decided to give up my freelance writing career and take the job that I have now. Mm-hmm. So something big is happening. It's not that I'm unfulfilled. It's that I am now fulfilled. And that's when it gets scary for me, man. Or exciting, anyway.
Okay. What's this space?
Anyway, yes. Anyway, but you're getting kind of close to the folks behind Carson.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
I like
they did an event last Christmas. Or they excuse me, they were going to do an event. The very next day, I gave it away. They were going to do an event called Dine Hard at Christmas. And a few people contacted them to say, hey, does Neil know anything about this? And a few people contacted me going, hey, are you part of this? I
was like, that is your online
monitor. my Instagram handle, etc. And I said, no, I don't know anything about it, but it's a pun, it's not a trademark. I really like what these guys do. Put a post up, got a really nice thank you for them. And then we started chatting, hung out a couple of times, been to Carmella's, their proper sit-down pizza place with them. A week or so ago, we went out for dinner with them at Oud 1722. So there's a guy called, chef called Akhtar Islam. He has a restaurant in Birmingham called Ophim, which has two Michelin stars.
Okay.
They do a very good kind of at-home kit. They're very generous. They sent lots of things out to the food industry and the restaurant industry and the hospitality folk as a gift recently. Very, very supportive of hospitality as a whole. Akhtar has opened this restaurant in near Flatiron Square. Called Oud 1722, and it's really, really good, as you would expect. Really interesting stuff. Great Indian food. There's a superb oxtail biryani.
Oh wow, that's great.
Really, really good cooking. Also, from a distinctly non-Indian kitchen. A lot of the team are not Indian, which is the sort of thing you tend to expect in an Indian restaurant. So again, it's really nice to see this kind of more multicultural element coming through.
Or may I expand that? Not South Asian.
Yes. So just lots of his head chef is kind of white British guy.
Okay.
But again, if he's now learning how to use spicing to that level and correctly, Akhtar was there the night. He was overseeing everything and then was about to drive back to Birmingham after service and open the restaurant the following day. That's dedication. I was like, but yeah, astonishing food, great service, really nice little intimate room, quite good value. There's a tasting menu, kind of just the big feast menu, take away all the decisions, multiple courses. It's kind of £130 a head. Which for that level of cooking, sounds expensive, but for that level of cooking, I think it's very easy to go pretty much anywhere these days and drop 75 to 100 quid a head without really thinking. all the big hits, all the greatest hits. Very, very, very good indeed. And yeah, nice to hang out with Jerry and Paul.
So that kind of
what they do.
That kind of like hit your like Indian quota for the week.
It was, well, funny enough, this was one of my proudest achievements.
Okay.
I'd also, I'd had lunch earlier that day. I had some vegetarian Indian food. A little place called almost inevitably Namaste in Holborn. I was meeting someone, an editor of mine. She's a vegetarian. She said she'd be based in Holborn. I searched vegetarian Holborn as a possible lunch option. Threw up Namaste. Terrific value, vegan straight vegetarian restaurant. Been there 5 or 6 years. Never even walked up that street before. Very, very good. But the greatest achievement was not discovering a really good value vegetarian restaurant or having a really good dinner with the white twice guys. I wore a white shirt that day and didn't spill a thing down me. Two curries, two Indian restaurants, not a thing down me. I would like, may the record show.
Whoa.
I am now officially a grown-up.
All right. Well, it's coming, man. There's going to be a tidal wave of filth.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah, at some point, yeah. So to be fair, I was owed one because I'd had a breakfast meeting with somebody recently wearing a mostly white shirt. Thought I would do the sensible thing, knowing what I'm like with, a friend refers to food stains on shirts as dinner medals. So I know what I'm like with dinner medals. It was a little brioche bun with bacon and egg. I thought I'd be very sensible. I will cut this in half, leant across, inserted knife into brioche bun. The entire egg yolk shot out at 6 o'clock.
Oh, dear.
And straight across the shirt, straight into my lap.
Shot through the
heart. At the beginning of the day, before another quite important meeting. Are you kidding me? So, I was owed one by the universe. Having thrown an entire egg yolk over myself a week or so before. But yeah, they're both very, very good. Seeing different ends of the spectrum, but really good. Great service in both. I'd recommended Namaste to my wife. She's already been with a friend, and I think they booked to go again.
Okay.
Really good value. And very, very delicious. Very generous portions. Yeah, that's good one. Really, really good.
Any other foodie recs you want to recommend while
While we're on the subject, where things... Actually, the other place that's really impressed me recently, kind of snuck in under the radar, this place called Lady of the Grapes.
Okay.
Again, funny enough, it was much just around the corner from Oud, just by Flatiron Square. It's a mostly natural wine bar. The winery is... Natural.
Natural
wine bar. Natural wines. But also mostly, if not entirely, female-led vineyards and female winemakers, hence the Lady of the Grapes.
I got to say Lady Park.
Well done. Do we have to? Are we now 18 certificates?
Is that explicit?
I think, I said bloody earlier, so I think
is that explicit? I think that bloody counts. Lady Park. So that was explicit. Yeah.
Now we're definitely at 18. But a really great.
Not to ruin it, otherwise, really great episode.
It was going so well. It's a brilliant, this whole concept, I'm going to celebrate another small plate menu. Really, really good small plate menu. Can't remember the name of the chef, I will look it up. Okay, we'll add that to the show notes. Just a really approachable, really good value. Very, lots of wines by the glass, had a beautiful Austrian. Grüne Veltliner off the, by the glass list. They did a fantastic, it was like tempura courgette flowers with a harissa mayo, which I would throw out as probably one of the best drinking snacks in London at the moment.
Okay.
I think the courgette flowers are now, I think they're doing whole green beans, but there's still the harissa mayo. It's like then most of the small plates were like sort of 8 to 12 quid. Very good value, lovely room. They're opening a kind of speakeasy wine bar downstairs over the next few weeks. But yeah, Lady of the Grapes, just between Borough Market and Flatiron Square. Heartily, heartily, heartily recommended.
Wonderful. Well, you're talking about Lady of the Grapes. I'm talking about the Lady of the Matcha. Went down to Brighton recently, just me and my lady had some free time and decided to go hop in the water there. Main reason was to go to the beach, walk around a great town, have a nice lunch together. But before we headed back, we stopped at a cafe I've been wanting to visit, and that's called Granny's. And it's a mostly matcha cafe. They do coffee and all sorts of other things, but the main thing there is the matcha. Really good, and whisk right there. They sell their own matcha. It's really nice. Service was phenomenal. Friendly, but you could tell it's really taking everything very seriously. I really enjoyed it. And still enjoying being here. But I got two more things I want to mention now. I'm really,
absolutely,
really excited.
Oh, and we were excited. Right, yeah. We're excited for you.
So I'm going to be in two art exhibitions coming up very soon. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
One is called Artist Field Notes, Wild Ways Along the Qing. And this is something I've been working on all summer as part of a group of 23 artists. If you don't know what the Qing is, it's a small river in sort of northeast London in Wapping Forest. It starts up in Epping Forest, flows down through sort of Chingford, Walthamstow, and into the greater Lee, River Lee. Mm-hmm. And I've been exploring it, making some art based on what I found there. The group of us, 23 of us, we've got poets, we've got sculptors, painters, illustrators. It's going to be really fascinating selection. It runs from Friday the 4th of September, very soon, through basically the month of September. I think it ends October 3rd. Friday the 4th, there's a Meet the Artist event. Now, the exhibition is at a library, Hale Land Library in Hyams Park, which is a great little secret villagey part of London. It's very close to where I live, but I didn't know it very well, but I've been exploring that area. It's great. So I think from maybe 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday the 4th, there's a Meet the Artist event. I think, and that's also the opening of the show. I think most of the artists will be there. I'll definitely be there for at least part of the time. And it'd be great to see people there. Any other time, come by and just see some really interesting art about a really interesting part of
London. So it opens on the 4th until?
3rd of October. Yeah, so about a month. Just also, I mean, it's funded by the River of London, the Mayor of London. And this Green Roots Initiative, is sort of like get people to focus on the nature we have here in London, revitalize natural areas, the river, things like that. And I'm really excited about being part of this, really excited to show my work. I got like a series of photographs, some found objects, assemblages, some other little things, some little freebies to give away, especially if you come on an opening afternoon. And then the other show is at the Sunny Art Center, which I've even just mentioned a little bit in this episode, where I take my drawing classes. They're doing their big annual exhibition starting Monday the 7th and going through to the 8th of October. Drawing and painting. There might be some other media there, but it's mostly drawing.
I believe you're currently wearing the prop.
Yeah. So you can see something I drew for the exhibition. Really excited because it was a step beyond what I thought I was able to do. I really want to thank the head teacher there for kind of pushing me gently, but...
spoiler alert, it's a cod piece.
Yes. There you go, nudging me quite assertively, but gently, in a direction to do more, and it's great. Anyway,
as I said last time, it's been really fun the last few episodes, hearing you talk about the drawing and the art.
I love it.
Clearly,
I took a class yesterday, I just loved it. And almost every day when I'm done, I walk out, and whoever the tutor is, I just say thank you. That was really a lot of fun.
And then you go and eat pizza. What a great system.
If you want to see it and all sorts of other great artwork, a lot of this stuff's selling, actually, for pretty good prices. Okay. People come there looking for great art. The private view is on Monday the 7th from, I think, about 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. free to attend. Anybody can attend, but you must RSVP. Free drink and food, if you must RSVP. And you can do that on the Sunny Arts Center website. And it's getting really crowded in here. All the cops have gone.
I think the events are connected.
There you go. Yeah. So maybe we should. Anything else?
Yeah.
Or you just start.
No, I am very. I guess yes. Yes, somewhere under the hubbub and the noise of people buying delicious baked goods is our theme. The year was strange, by Enub. Outside of All Consumed, where can we track you down?
You can track me down at tinkychris.com. I've put some stuff up there recently, and also after a very long hiatus, which I'm going to go back to very soon, I've actually put some things on my Instagram.
Amazing.
Chris Osborne. Also find me at just All Consumed Pod on Instagram, allconsumedpod.com, our website for this podcast. Mm-hmm. Neil,
and as mentioned earlier, at Dine Hard on Instagram, there will be some photos of Oud going up very soon. I know the Bite Twice guys have put some photos up already. I think their video will be going up soon. Yeah, that's where you can track me down and monitor my calorie intake.
All right. Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, man. Always a pleasure.